James chapter 1, and we'll start with verse 1 again. We haven't gotten so far that we should forget that verse 1 exists. Of course, James is the half-brother of Jesus, somebody that as he was growing up, didn't really think that much of his brother. At one point, Jesus is out speaking to a crowd, and his mom and his brothers come, and they're trying to get him to come home because they feel like he's making a fool of himself, that he's not being wise. And in their personal understanding and their wisdom, it was like, no, you need to come home, you need to eat, and we need to protect you from those things that you're saying. And his brothers mocked him when it was time to go to, and these were religious, nice boys, okay? These were good Jewish boys that went to synagogue and everything. They were going to go to the temple to have one of the celebrations there and for Passover, and they were telling Jesus, you need to go down there and you need to make yourself known if you want to be a king. And they're kind of mocking him because they did not believe, Scripture says. And yet James, his half-brother, met Jesus after the resurrection, and something changed in his life. You meet your brother after you know he's dead and now he's alive again. That would affect you, and you would listen, okay, what do I need to know? And all those things that Jesus had been saying proved to be true. And so James becomes one of the leaders of the Jerusalem church. And as he goes through the period where Stephen was stoned and there were other persecution events happening, a lot of the church dispersed. They left. And these would have been mostly Jewish Christians, believers that had basically been chased and kicked out of the synagogue for their belief in Jesus Christ. And James and the other elders stayed back in Jerusalem, but he writes to them this letter, and we have the benefit of the knowledge of somebody that knew Jesus well, even when he didn't believe in Jesus, and got to know Jesus even better after the resurrection. So James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't even mention that he's his brother. He's a servant. To the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. It's probably the last thing we want to do is like, oh, I'm facing trials. What pure joy this is. No, but consider it that. Whenever you face trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, forbearance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, it's kind of like the teacher with the rhetorical question. It's like, you know, do any of you lack wisdom? Obviously you do. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God. You should pray. You should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Again, James knew this experientially. Jesus, when he got back with James after the resurrection, could have easily enumerated all of James's doubt and sin and mocking and could have really just reamed him and said, you know, the biggest I told you so moment of the universe. It's like, why weren't you listening to me? And yet, James tells us that Jesus gives wisdom generously and doesn't find fault. Can we be that in other people's lives? Or are we the I told you so, why didn't you listen to me sooner, Christians? Let's be more like Jesus. Anyway, so you lack wisdom, you should ask God. Verse 6. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. You must not doubt. Now, I'm hesitant to even spend time in this passage sometimes, because doubt is something that I think, if we're honest with ourselves, all of us experience at times. Do we want the wisdom of God when we face trials? Or do we would just want the trial to go away? Be honest, sometimes I just want the trial to go away so I can go on with my life in my own human understanding, and I'm going to make things work. After God fixes the mess, then I can do the rest. And then that's not trusting God and not doubting. It's being double-minded, he talks about later. When you ask, and it says, if you lack wisdom, you should ask God. Okay, I'm going through a trial. I don't know, Lord, what you're trying to do here. And it's okay to ask God. And you know what? You can ask him 1,000 times. You can ask him again and again and again, and he's not going to find fault, and he's going to give you wisdom generously. Just keep asking him. And the doubt part, I don't think it's talking about the doubt like the gentleman that goes to Jesus and says, yes, I believe, help my unbelief. He's one-faced. He's focused on the desire to believe. That's not the kind of doubt that we're concerned about here. This is a doubt where you're thinking, okay, God, even if you do exist, I'm not sure about that. I don't know that you care about me, and I'm not sure you're going to do anything. So I'm going to have to come up with a plan B, but I'll throw in a prayer just for assurance sake, kind of just hoping that maybe that prayer will work. And I know a lot of people that just try to mix belief in Christ and prayer in with all of their other belief systems. You ever met a Buddhist that you want to talk to them about Jesus? They'll say, oh yeah, I'll pray to Jesus, no problem. They're not afraid of praying to Jesus, but it's just one little piece in their pantheon of gods. And God wants us to love him with our whole heart, to be single-minded, to have faith in him, faith that produces perseverance. It's interesting that he uses the image from nature. I think James, as you look through the rest of the book of James, both he and Jesus loved nature. You can tell that they were very familiar with what was going on around them. And so he picks this wave. It's like a wave of the sea. You ever watch a wave of the sea? It's kind of got its highs and lows. And do we feel like that sometimes? Yes, I believe in Jesus. Hallelujah. And we're back up again and we're down again. And we can really kind of feel like it's a wave and we're being tossed. And when Jesus was on the waves, he slept and rested. He had peace. We can be tossed by the wave, or we can just trust in Jesus and know that the wave is not going to matter. It's not going to change because there's a solid rock that we're trusting in. Verse 7. That person that's being tossed like a wave, that person that's doubting, should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Again, this is a hard verse because it's like the Bible is telling me that somebody could be praying and it's not going to be answered. Don't expect to get anything. Don't expect that answer because you're doubting and you don't even trust me and you don't really believe that I can do anything. So why would I work with you? I don't think Jesus is trying to be vindictive here. I think he's just saying, you know, I am who I am, and if you trust me, you don't have to doubt. If you know who I really am and who you really are, you're not going to put your faith and trust in yourself. You're going to put your faith and trust in the solid rock. Verse 8, such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. That double-minded, it's basically double-souled, S-O-U-L-E-D, souled. If your soul is trying to turn to God and it's turning to something else, whatever that something else is. Oftentimes that's trusting in our own understanding. If we think that we can play both sides of the fence, we can be religious and we can be worldly all at the same time, that's not true religion. That's not faith that God is the provider. That's not looking at him to give the wisdom. It's us thinking we've got the wisdom and we can kind of just grab onto him for the benefits and the blessings, but not be all in. A double-minded man, double-minded person is unstable in all that they do. How many of us want to do business with somebody that says one thing and does something else? The plumber that says, yeah, I'll be there on Thursday. But Thursday comes around and you took the day off work and you waited and they didn't show. Well, definitely, I intended to be there, wanted to be there, but something else came up. And I didn't call because I was too busy. Or whatever, you know. And we've all had those experiences in life. Sometimes it's not the plumber. Sometimes it's your spouse or your children or your parents or somebody else that's let you down. We experience pain because we're around people that are not single-minded and focused on Jesus. And we produce pain in others because we are not single-minded and focused on Jesus. I can love the people better. Village Mission says, preach the word and love the people. Well, I can love the people better if I'm focused on Jesus, if I'm in the word, if I understand the word and I know the word, and I know Jesus, the God of the word, and then I can focus on loving the people. There's a lot in James about the contrast between being single-minded and focused and being double-minded. The instability of the double-minded person. They can't decide. They say one thing one day and the next day it's exactly the opposite, and then they're back to the first thing, and that's like the wave that it talks about in verse 6. The doubting wave. Yes, I totally trust the Lord, and the next day it's like, I don't know how this is ever going to be solved. I guess I'm going to have to do it on my own. I need to call Uncle Jim or whatever. And then, you know what? The Lord might use Uncle Jim, so if we can trust the Lord, but you know, however the solution comes to us, we can't assume that we worked it up and made it happen. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights. Lord, I pray that we can learn to ask in faith and not doubt. And as we continually are progressing through that, we're grateful, Lord, that you are a God that will listen and not find fault when we come back to you again and again. There's some big issues, some big trials, some big problems in this community right now, Lord Jesus, and yet you are the rock. You are the one that we can rest on and be secure in, and you're the one that brings solutions. I trust that as followers of the way, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, that are saved and promised eternal life, we can also demonstrate that life, that pure joy when we're facing trials. We can show the world that there's hope. And that hope is not in a political solution or a scientific solution, but it's in you, Lord Jesus Christ. And yes, you do use kings and you do use doctors and you use teachers and policemen and all sorts of occupational guides that affect us and touch us. Help us not to be so frustrated with the circumstances around us, with government and with whatever else is happening in our lives, God, that we forget that you will make all things right, that you, Lord Jesus, will cause all things to work together for good and for your glory. I pray that we can find joy in that, that we can have pure joy in knowing that you are trustworthy, and that we can allow perseverance, forbearance, patience to do its complete work in us. So that we can be mature and have some of that wisdom that you promised to give generously, liberally. Thank you so much, Jesus. Amen.